Halacha Zingur says a pshat. Someone rips. The Gemara says a pshat, but someone that rips clothing or breaks things when he's angry, it should be in your eyes as if he's Eivir of a Rezar. He says, because that's the way of the Yitzhara. Today he says this, tomorrow he says that, until he says to the Eivir of a Rezar.
What's every study, bro? What's the word? Is it?
I don't know.
Here, this is I'm
going over that. Hayamar la seikach, umachal la seikach, ad shalamar laivad v'nazar v'hala fa'aysa. V'avor kain, and because of that, Ksiv, it says, layavacha elzar, you shouldn't have a strange god. V'eiza elzar, what's a strange god? Shehu b'kir b'sha adam, that's in the midst of the person. Havayamar zay yitzahara.
Oh, because I'm too dumb to figure that one out.
I'd like to discuss a little bit, so we discussed it last time. Just the concept he mentions here, that today the Yitzhar says this, tomorrow he says that, until he gets a person to even a Badazar. But the person has to realize, it's a very important side a person has to realize, that people could fall very, very quickly. People could fall very quickly. I don't know if you've met any people that have fallen quickly, but people could fall very quickly. In Ruchnius, you know, a person leaves yeshiva, many times a person leaves yeshiva, and even a good bacher, and very shortly afterwards falls very far. And it's a terrible, Daniel says, it's a terrible, terrible thing that a person should fall very hard. It's very easy to fall because the Yitzhara is very strong. And what happens is a person leaves yeshiva and it's very easy to fall if a person doesn't keep starm in learning. The person starts slacking off his learning. First, the person starts slacking off his learning. He's working in a makkah, in a place that the people there are totally, you know, not, you know, b'nai tira. And a person's influenced very much by the people he hangs out with. And he slowly but surely falls. And a person has to be very careful. Number one, a person is very careful where a person works. If there's any option, the person has to work in a place where he's not going to be, influenced, bad, you know, for the bad.
Anything.
Person has to be careful where he works, and also as a person has to be careful where he lives. First, has to be careful where he lives. If a person has an opportunity to live in a Makom Taira, then a person should live in a Makom Taira at all costs. A person should live in a Makom Taira. There's no reason for a person to leave Makom Taira. If a person leaves the Makom Taira, then it's like a fish. Like the Gemara says, it's like a fish leaving water. A person says, you know, I'm not coming here to support the Waterbury community. You know, it doesn't have to be Waterbury. But Lu Yitzur, let's say a Bacher feels comfortable here, and he feels that, you know, it's better, it's good for his roughness to stay here. Then the person should, at all costs, stay here. If there's another Makom Taira he feels will also grow, or there's a Makom Taira that he feels will grow more, then go to a different Makom Taira. But a person leaves a Makom Taira, it's very, very dangerous because he doesn't have the safeguarding of a community where people know him, where people know him a certain way. If people know him a certain way, if he slips, they'll be obvious that he's slipping. you know, person picks himself up and goes to a different neighborhood. And many times people go to neighborhoods that are not holding where they are holding. You know, they go to a neighborhood in a more modern community, and what happens is they'll become, even if they come in, well, I'll be Makarik people, you know, I'm not going to be influenced by the other people. What happens is eventually there'll be one exactly like everyone else that have the same standards of Ruchnius, you know, because when a person gets used to, you know, people around them act a certain way, then he gets comfortable also that way.
First thing, you forget everything you learned from before. I mean,
he'll slowly slip. A person will slowly slip. How many yeshiva bachrim? Hundreds, thousands of yeshiva bachrim who are sitting in yeshiva learning, maybe not stark as possible, but basically had, you know, basically good intended yeshiva bachrim, eventually become, you know, lose connection to learning. They are very lax on their keeping Torah mitzvahs. They're very, very lax. They mamash resemble nothing like a yeshiva, nothing like a ben Torah. They don't resemble the tzura of a ben Torah at all. It happens to many, many people. A person thinks it can't happen to him. Chas v'shalom can happen to anybody. It can happen to any person if he doesn't protect himself. As I mentioned, you know, a little chazar, I mentioned this by the art site. But I'll repeat it anyways, because that speech was the Yisrael was a Musavak. So now it's Musavak. So the Gemara says, I love this Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Amram had some captives in his house, and Rav Amram had a Yitzhahara for them. So he carried a big, it says he carried a heavy ladder that 10 people, I think it says 10 people, it would take 10 people to carry. Even 10 people couldn't carry the ladder. And he picked it up himself. He had such a yetzahara, such a drive, that he carried the ladder himself. And it says he climbed up half the ladder, and he screamed, so he stopped himself halfway up the ladder, and he screamed, "Noiru be'amram, there's a fire in the house of Rav Amram. There's a fire in the house of Amram. There's a fire here. There's a fire in the house of Amram." It's very possible, it's not relevant, whether Rav Amram could have controlled himself from the Aveira. It's mashma that Rav Amram basically would not be able to control himself from doing the Aveira. His Yetzar was too strong. But it's obvious that that would not have been an excuse. Rav Amram, if he would have been over the Aveira, he would have had no excuse in Shemayim, because there was something he could have done. And that thing he could have done was what he did. He screamed, "Fire! Fire!" And people came running, and obviously he wasn't going to be able to do that there anymore. It's amazing, Gemara, in just the nature of a human being, that a person could not be able to control himself from doing that there, but he was smart enough, and he was able to scream out fire, fire, because that's easier sometimes than controlling yourself from doing that there. And that was his nisayon. It's very possible that his nisayon was, I believe it's pshat, his nisayon was whether he would scream fire or fire. That was his test. Of course not. But the concept is the concept of what he did is obvious, that a person, by the way, he screamed fire, fire. It wasn't a lie. The Yetzer is fire. The Yetzer is destructive like fire. The Yetzer wants to kill you. The Yetzer wants to kill you. The Yetzer wants to destroy your house. Rav Amram screamed fire, fire. A person can put himself in a situation where whether he'll be put himself in a makom yitzhar, and then a person can't say really I'm pata. Oh, it's not my fault. I'm with all these people that I'm from, and you know how could I be from and all the other people. That's not an excuse at all. Besides the fact whether you can control yourself, not control yourself, but there's no excuse to put yourself in a makom like that. You know, people think it's a good trick. People say, oh, it's a good trick, you know, you're staying in yeshiva, locking yourself in yeshiva, what's the big deal? You know, come on, you have to go out to the real world, I'm saying, you're avoiding the, go out in the big, real world, be a big boy, you could, you know, withstand the Yetzirah, be in the big world, you're hiding out in yeshiva, you're trying to, you know, avoid it, you know, life is about living in the real world and overcoming it. Every day we say in davening, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yilavu L'Idei Nisayon, that we shouldn't come to Nisayon. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we shouldn't come to Nisayon. So a person will say, just on the pshat, I don't know, a person says, what do you mean we daven, you shouldn't come to Nisayon? Isn't the purpose of life growth? Isn't the purpose of life growth? The purpose of life is growth. It's a good kasha. What do you mean I shouldn't come to Nisayon? Of course I'm going to come to Nisayon. So okay, Dad, I should come to Nisayon. The purpose of life is overcoming Nisayon. We wouldn't have Nisayon, and we wouldn't be in this world. We'd be a malachim are created to serve Hashem without Nisayon. I don't know the answer. I was just thinking that itself is part of the avodah, as part of my avodah. I'm davening to Hashem that I should avoid Nisayon. That itself is a growth that I'm asking Kodesh Baruch Hu. That itself is avodah that I'm asking Hashem not for Nisayon. I'm asking Hashem not for Nisayon. My tefillah is my work. My tefillah is my work. That I'm davening to Kodesh Baruch Hu not to have Nisayon. Without the tefillah, you're right. First, I have Nisayon. My tefillah itself is service to Kodesh Baruch Hu. My tefillah itself helps. I shouldn't have the Nisayon. And then that's fine. So tefillah. We don't look for Nisayonis. We try to avoid Nisayonis. I have written down, I'll read it again, it doesn't hurt. Person, many times the biggest decisions in a person's life, there's so many big decisions in a person's life. Sometimes who a person marries, a person's not careful, but says, oh, I wish she's a little bit, you know, I'm not decide any individual case, I'm saying she's a little more modern, but whatever, I'm not going to be influenced all Makai of her. You know, a person has to be very careful because there's certain big decisions where a person lives, a person marries, where a person works, what a person does. There's so many things that mamash change, that make it or break it. These are the make it or break it decisions in life that a person mamash could fall over. So, all right, I'm sorry to have chazar here. It's very important to have a strong kesher to learning, Shai wrote, and to make sure he has his own Rebbe who he can always relate to. It's very important to have a strong kesher to learning. Reminds the person has to keep a seder. Whatever a person is doing, if a person is working, if a person doesn't keep a seder, a person's lost. I don't know. But I don't know you guys. You know, we always, the Gemara says that Torah is mevili de ma'isa. Torah brings to action. So on one level, Torah brings to action because I know what to do. But there's another level. A person doesn't realize it till there's a withdrawal. But I know myself, when a person doesn't learn for a day or two, a person's pasha weaker. When it comes to serving Hashem, when it comes to when there's a Yetzirah, when there's an Nisayon, the person's not learning, comes the summer, the person's not learning well. The person mamash falls to the Yetzirah a lot quicker. Torah is mamash oxygen. Torah is mamash medicine, vitamins, for the person to withstand the Yetzirah. If a person leaves the Yeshiva, a person's working. Basically. But the person leaves the yeshiva, a person works, and he doesn't have starm in learning, he's not serious about his starm, serious starm for learning, his ruchnis is going to fall very, very fast. If he doesn't have a serious seder in learning, a serious seder, every person according to his level, a person should have a goal. Let the person finish Masechtas. He's working. Let him have a serious Seder, an hour, 2 hours, where he's learning to finish a Masechta, to finish Masechtas, to finish Halacha, where he has goals, and he really accomplishes in learning and feels and satisfied learning. Going to Shir is nice, but it might, I don't know if it gives the person the same kesher to learning, gives him the same, you know, go to Shir also. The person have his own learning where he's accomplishing and doing something. Because if without Torah, the person, people don't realize this, without Torah, your mamash is so weak. You're so weak, a person could fall so quickly to the Yetzirah. Most people that leave Yeshiva and fall to the Yetzirah, they dropped part of their first fall, and the big fall was they stopped keeping Starim to learn. They would just keep a good Seder, a good enjoyable Seder to learning, it will make a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference, either they're learning, Psachim, they're learning, whatever they're learning. Torah is the strength a person has to stay to learning. When a person doesn't learn, he's weak, he's shvach. A person has to have a strong keshet to learn. Also, a person has to have a rebbe. A person doesn't have a rebbe. It's also very another safeguard is a rebbe. A rebbe that knows you, a rebbe that you speak to, because this way, if you're falling, you can cry for help. This way, if you're falling, the rebbe will see you're falling and he'll try to be mechazek you. If a person doesn't have a rebbe, also, it's very difficult. And the third thing that Shai wrote is also you want to make sure you're involved in the community. A person should have a kesher to where he is. If a person lives in, nothing against Brooklyn, but the chesaron of a place like Brooklyn or any other place is if you're not involved in the community, again, you have I'm by myself. I'm free. No one. You don't want to be free. You want to be noticed. You want to be important. You want to be noticed. You want to be noticed. If I'm not coming to Starm, you want to be noticed. You want to be in a community. You want to be in a place where someone notices whether you come and learn or not. You want to be noticed. No, I don't care. You want to be noticed because otherwise you don't have a safety. You don't have a safeguard. A person that lives somewhere, no one knows whether he comes and goes, what he does. Knowing that's what people like. It's called freedom, maybe. But that's not good for you. And a person should live in a place where he's connected to a yeshiva. A person should always make sure. A person should daven. A person should have a yeshiva. A person should have a yeshiva where he lives. Should have a yeshiva. Wherever you are. A person should have a yeshiva. Make yourself a yeshiva. You could be 40, 50 years old. You have kids. You have grandkids. You're working. Where's your yeshiva? What's your yeshiva? What yeshiva do you associate yourself with? You never learned there. If it's not where you learned, so find yourself a different yeshiva. Find yourself a different yeshiva. Find yourself a Rosh Yeshiva that you like. Find yourself a yeshiva that you like. Connect yourself to yeshiva. It's a beautiful thing that in many communities, that there's a yeshiva there. For Akway, Kew Garden Hills, there's a yeshiva there. And there are a number of Baal Batim that daven in yeshiva. And it's a very nice thing. I think it makes a big difference in their lives. They daven in yeshiva, they're connected with a Makom Torah, they're connected with a reshiva, they're connected with a Makom Torah, they're involved in yeshiva. Stam a shul, unless your shul has a great rav, and there are shuls that have great ravs that are mamish tamid echam, and you have a shaychus them, you have a kesher, so that could be an exception. A person has a kesher, to a rav, and he's his rebbe. A rav should be your rebbe, by the way. If your rav's not your rebbe, find yourself a different rav. If a person davens in a shul, you shouldn't just stop be davening in a shul. Oh, he gives good speeches on Shabbos. That's not what you should be looking for in your rabbi. You should be looking for a rebbe. You should be looking for a rebbe. If that rav is not qualified to, you don't like him, or you don't feel you want him to be your rebbe, then if at all possible, at all costs, find yourself a different rebbe. Find yourself a different community, so you'll move. So you sell your house, move. Find yourself a rebbe. A rav should be a person's rebbe. Nowadays, it's so not common. The rabbanim of the shul are everything's, you know, politics. It's just about, you know, will he speak? Will he not speak? You know, do you say something stupid during the speech? Do you not say something in the speech? You know, everything just is politics. A rav. If any of you become a rav, you should make it your job to have a shaychus to your congregants. Obviously you can't force them. You should be their rebbe. A rav should get up. You know, I never understand. The rav has a responsibility. I think a rav should has a responsibility to people down in the shul. If they're missing zman kriya shma, then you should tell them. They're missing zman tefillah, they're doing things wrong. A rav has a responsibility, has a chrayas. Nowadays, unfortunately, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, every shul should not be a land house. It's nice to have a minyan factory where people need a minyan at different times, they have to have a find a place shul. But a person lives his life diving at land house.
What?
Land house.
What's that?
It's a shtiebel that has minanim around the clock. A person lives his life, you know, davening in land house, Shabbos. A person lives his life, that's where he davens. Shabbos day, he davens this minyan. This day, he davens at this minyan because this minyan is faster. Shabbos morning is the fastest, and during the week, this minyan is the fastest. And Shabbos afternoon, oh, this bakar is the best bakar. So, you know, he has all the best minyanim in town. He picks each one. So, where's your rav? Where's your rav? Where's your makom? You have to find yourself a makom. If you're going to live in Brooklyn, where it's more difficult, then when you'll find yourself a makom, find yourself a rav, find yourself a yeshiva, find yourself something to attach onto. If you're not attached to anything, you're in a perilous situation. You're easily full. If a person can live in a place where he's connected to yeshiva, it's the best thing in the world. It's the best thing. It's the best thing in the whole world. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that so in the Mishnah, Amar be the last parak. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma says, "Pamachas one time, Yosi mahalach b'derech, I was walking on the road. Ufaga be adam echad, and I met a certain person. V'nasan li shalom, he gave me shalom. V'avzarti li shalom, I answered him back shalom. I don't know what the significance of telling us this is. Amar li, he said to me, Rabbi, meizam makam ata. From what he said to me, Rabbi, from which place are you? Amarti lo, I said to me, Ir gedayla shal chacham v'shal sayf from Adi. I'm from a great place. A great city of Chacham and Sefer. Amar Li, he said to me, Rabbi, Ritzaycha Shetada Imanu B'mkameinu, do you want to live in our place? V'ani etan l'cha elaf alafim dinrei zav, I'll give you thousands of golden coins, v'avadim taivas, margolis, and pearls. Amar Tilo, I said to him, imata noisim l'kol kasav izav, v'avadim taivas, if you give me all the money, and the pearls, and the whole world, eini dar al m'kaim tayra, I'll only live in a m'kaim tayra. The chain cost of a safer tell him, it says in tell him, they dove me alchis. So tightly taras picha, me alphas on the guest. All the money in the whole world. He could have supported all the yeshivas, he could have supported all the aniyim. It's not a joke. If you give me all the money in the world, I'm not going to learn makam tayra. It was serious. Give me all the money, I'll be able to support all the yeshivas. That's not a heter. It's not an excuse. I have many rises. Money is not an excuse. Even if you'll say, I'll give staka, I'll do this with the money, I'll do this money, that's not kosher money. Hashem will support the yeshivas. Don't ever pat yourself with, I'll give the money to tzedakah. That's not an excuse. I hate when people do that. Says, I'm not sure, person sees some money on the table, I'm not sure whose it is. Oh, put in tzedakah. What is it, put in tzedakah? So you're stealing someone's money, put in tzedakah. Putting in tzedakah is only where you have your money, which is done properly, put in tzedakah. Person said, any person who can live in a makom tayra, it's kamat, money is rarely the issue. It's not usually a person says, I don't want to live in Malcolm Tyra. Why? Because instead of making 200,000, I'll only make 100,000. If a person works hard to make a parnasa, he can make a parnasa any place. That's just Hashem, any place. If it happens, a person has a thing, he tries, there's no other place, there's no job offer except for whatever, but that's a different story. But a person could make a decision. To live in a makom tayra is the best thing. And by the way, a person shouldn't think it's a little thing. A person doesn't chap, it's a big thing. So, you know, it's not such a big deal whether I live here or live somewhere else. I should give up all that money. It's not such a big deal. What am I doing? It's not such a big thing. And even if a person does it, Pasha, like, he's like, it's ridiculous. I'm crazy. I'm giving up all this money. It's the greatest thing in the whole world because you'll get schar the rest of your life. You're going to gain so much. Everything you gain the rest of your life is because you gave up the bigger job, you gave up the better college, all the money, you know what you grow every day of your life from being in a makom tayra as opposed to not being a makom tayra? It's a matter of life and death. It's not parnasa. Parnasa, there's no other way to get a parnasa. I promise you. If a person wants to live in Makom Tayra, Hashem will give you parnasa. You'll get parnasa. It's not worth giving up all the money in the world to live in a place that you're gonna fall. You're gonna fall. Person says, "I'm not gonna fall." If you don't fall, you're not gonna shtag as much as you could. Every person has to figure out maybe what the best place for them to live is. I don't have that much to say about this topic. I feel like I shouldn't end. I should just repeat it 100 times. just repeat it for the next 15 minutes. A person should live in Makom Taira, a person should live in Makom Taira, a person should have a Rebbe, a person should have a Rav, a person should live in Makom Taira, just chaz over the next 100 times. It's the most important thing probably the most important thing I said all year. A person should live in a Makom Taira. A person should have a Rebbe. A person should have a Rav. A Rav means a Rav does not mean person that gives you speeches. A Rav is a person that you feel comfortable speaking to, ask him Eitzes, or ask him Psakim, Halacha. A person has to have a Rav. A person has to live in a Makom Taira. I think it's very, very important. A person has to live in a Makom Taira. Did I say that? A person has to live in a Makom Taira. It's a very important thing. A person has to live in a Makom Taira. It's worth all the sacrifice. Money, you'll have more money for tzedakah. That's not a heter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the aniyim. You'll get all the schar in the world for living in Makom Taira. Yes, Al?
Should a person live in a Makom Taira?
That's an excellent question. Thank you. Because I was afraid someone missed that point. A person should live in a Makom Taira. He should ask, he should figure out what's the best place for his ruchnius and live in that place. You hear what we're saying? A person should live in a Makom Taira. A person should be connected to a yeshiva. A person should be connected to a rabbi. Should be connected to a rav. If you lose your connections, you're taking a chance of risking everything. And even if you don't end up risking everything, you're risking something. You're not risking, you're going to lose something. If you're not living in Makom Taira, you're going to lose something. You say, I'll still be from. But how from? As from? Will you learn as much every day? Will you be as Erlach? Will you be as Avin Taira? Are your kids? By the way, your kids also. What do you think your kids are going to grow up as? Do you think you know the difference between your kids, how they grew up in a Makom Taira? It's by the way, one thing, this I want to say about Waterbury. At this point, it's the best place to raise children. It's just a Makom Taira, a happy Makom Taira. The best place in the world to raise your kids.
Co-ed school.
Yeah, co-ed school. It's the best. I grew up in a co-ed school. It's the best place.
What about the people who started Makom Taira?
What about them?
The pioneers who come.
So they're starting a Makom Taira. A Makom Taira doesn't mean that let's say a person says, I'll live in Lakewood. It could be a Makom Taira, but it could be it's not. Depends what it is to you. Makom Taira, Brooklyn's a Makom Taira. Says, I live in Brooklyn's a Makom Taira because there are hundreds of yeshivas in Brooklyn. Makom Taira means your connection to the Makom. If you live in a Makom Taira but you're not connected, then you're not living in a Makom Taira. You're not living in a Makom Taira. That's not what we're talking about. Connected. You could be living in somewhere where there's not a lot of yeshivas. You're connected to Taira. That's what we call living in a Makom Taira.
So
what happens is, but usually there it's very good, because usually it's a few people. Depends, you say one person, usually it's a few people, and they're creating their own Makom Taira, and they're very connected to it. They're mamish connected. If five people go out and start a kollel somewhere, they're very connected to themselves. And they're very connected to what's going on in Ruchnius. They're not just happen to be there. That's exactly what they're doing. They're mamish connected to learning.
Even for a Rav to go to like a modern Shteller where there's no like.
For a Rav, I should know. For a Rav to go to a modern Shteller. In Rav position.
He should have his own Rebbe.
It is dangerous. It is dangerous, by the way. There are people that go out and be Rabbanims in places, and they don't. And by the way, they stop growing. I spoke about this another time. They'll stop growing. They'll starim. They stop learning well. They stop with their starim. Because I'm a rabbi already. I don't have to learn anymore. They all stand up for me. They all ask me how many people need for a cottage. They ask me if the ladies count. That's it. I'm finished. And Echanami, it's very dangerous for a person. The person takes a job as a young age. Person takes a job. It's dangerous also, not young, any old age. Person takes a job as a rabbi in a modern place somewhere out there. It's very dangerous. He'll be influenced. He will be influenced. There's no question. He will be influenced. It's dangerous. He should realize it's dangerous. It is dangerous. What should he do? It's a different shot. He has to ask his rabbi. His mayor said he has a rabbi. He has something to ask. All right, we'll stop here. We're up to Shara Kass. For those that are still holding the Adol Yada. If you want to be here, like I said, if you're not around, just come here. Okay. Vama Rabbi. You have a place? A new paragraph in summary. Alright. Va'amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Arba Midais Bedeis. There are four different types of character traits. Nayach Lilachais, there's one person that is easily gets angry. The Nayach Lirtzais, and he easily is appeased. Yatzoscharai Behafsedai, his schar goes out with his hefsed. I'm gonna explain it in 1 second, hopefully. Kasha Licha is someone that is difficult for to get him angry. The Kasha Lirtzais, it's difficult for him to be appeased, it's difficult to calm him down. Yatza Hefsedo, his hefsed goes out, the schar with his schar. Someone that's difficult for him to get angry, but he's easily appeased. Chassid, he's a chassid. And finally, Nayach Lichai, someone that easily gets angry. The Kasha Lirtai says it's difficult for him to be appeased. He's a Rasha. Mishnah Pirkei Avos.
It's a different version. Yours has a different version in mind, though.
Well,
it says
Yatzuschara Bev Seda? Which one?
It's just a different order.
Okay. Well, this is the mission, order the mission. This is the way in Pirkei Avos it has it the way I read it. Alright, so this is the mission in Pirkei Avos. Now, let's go over the first two. Okay. It says, Nayach Lecha is someone that easily gets angry, and a person that easily gets angry and is easily appeased. Yatzah Schar Behafsedo. His Schar goes out with his Hefsed. What does it mean his Schar goes out with his Hefsed? And then it says, if someone is difficult, who gets angry, it's hard to get him angry, and it's hard to calm him down, it's hard to appease him. So Yatza Hefsedo Bischarai. Let me refer to another Mishnah Pirkei Avos to understand what it means. Alright? There's another Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the next Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Arba Midas B'Tamidim. There are four types of Tamidim. There's a Mahar L'Shmaya, there's someone that easily listens. Umar La'avid. He easily understands, but he easily forgets. He easily loses what he learned. Yatza Scharai Behafsedai. His Schar goes out with his Hefsed. What does it mean his Schar goes out with his Hefsed? It means that the Schar goes out, even though he had Schar that he understands easily, but he loses all his Schar Behafsedai. The Schar goes out, the fact that he understands the learning quickly, goes out with the Hefsed because he loses it right away. So a person that easily understands but easily forgets, his schar is lost by his hefsed because he forgets it. The next case in the Mishnah over there, kasha l'shmaya, someone that is hard for him to understand something, it's hard for him to chap. The kasha l'avid, but it's hard for him to lose it, he doesn't forget. Yatza hefsedo bischarai, his hefsed goes out, it's overridden by his schar. In other words, even though there's a very big hefsed that he has a disadvantage that's hard for him to understand, but that's lemaisa's better. It's overridden by his schar that he doesn't forget. Yeah, that's a better level. That's what it sounds like. Maher l'shmaya v'kashlabi, someone who easily understands it's hard for him to forget. He's called a chacham, and someone that's hard for him to understand, it's easy for him to forget. That's chelik ra. It's a bad portion. He's not called a rush, as the mefarshim say, because the person, right? It's not his fault. He was born at disadvantage, so it's a chelik ra. He was given a difficult portion in life that's hard for him to understand, and he forgets easily. Now, let's go our mishnah. Nayach licha is someone that easily gets angry. The nayach liritzas and easily gets appeased. Yatzuscharai, he's the worst level compared to the other mishnah. The yatzuscharai, his schar is lost by his hefsed. His schar is lost by his hefsed. The schar.
How's it read there?
So we have in the Mishnah, our Mishnah is the opposite. Am I, if there are, is a different gear, so
the way we're learning, the way I have in my, the way we have it in our Mishnayos, is Yatzos Char Behafseda. The Char goes out with the, there is another gear, but we're explaining it this way. Yatzos Char Behafseda. The Char goes out with this Hafseda. It means the Char of the fact that he easily is appeased. So that goes out by his Hafseda that easily gets angry. Let me just go to the next case, we'll explain. Kasha lechai, someone that is difficult for him to get angry. The kasha lirtzai, but it's difficult for him to get to the foul. This is a complicated one, alright? Usually we don't get so tactical. Kasha lechai, someone that's difficult for him to get angry, and it's difficult for him to be appeased. So yatsa hafsedo, his hafsed, the fact that it's hard to calm him down, it's hard for him to be appeased, right, is overridden by his schar. In other words, this guy is better off. His schar is better than his hefset. The schar that it's hard for him to get angry is better than his hefset. The shot of the mission, the shot is as follows, like this. A person who's you would not know. Wouldn't be for the Mishnah. You want to have a good shiloh. Which is worse? A person that easily gets angry, but easily gets appeased, or a person that's hard to get him angry and it's hard to have him appeased. Who would you think is worse? The Mishnah is telling us that the first person is worse. The person that's I'm sorry. That's what I'm. That's what person that's hard to get angry is worse. Harder to be appeased.
Yes.
So the Mishnah says the way we have the Mishnah is the opposite. That it's hard, it's worse, the person that it's better to be a person that's difficult to get angry, even though you're more difficult to be appeased. It's identical with the idea of learning. The person that easily gets angry, so even though he easily gets appeased, so good, he'll easily get appeased. But then 4 minutes later, 15 minutes later, a few hours later, he's getting angry again. So he's always going to be constant anger. So it doesn't help the fact that he easily is appeased, because he's constantly getting angry again. Just like the person that chops learning easily. He chops the learning easily, but he forgets it easy. So therefore, whatever he gets, he loses. So even if he gets appeased, he's going to lose it again, because he's going to get angry again. Masha'enki, the person that's hard to get him angry, so even though it's hard to get him appeased, but at least most of the time, he won't get angry. He won't have the anger there. So the Mishnah says it's better to be a person that gets angry less often, that's hard to get you angry, even though it's hard to get you appeased. It says I'll forget again. It says it's easy for him to lose. L'chaira, it's mashma from the Mishnah. I don't know about the Teva. It's mashma from here that the two things are. It's mashma, it's connected. That the same way you understand that a person that easily understands something in learning, he easily forgets it. And there's a connection between that nature of the person to a person that's hard for him to understand, it's hard for him to lose it. L'chaira, there's a connection in nature between a person that has a hard time getting angry might have a hard time letting go, and a person that easily gets angry will also could have an easier time letting go. There's a connection in the nature of a person. The person that's very easy to get him angry, and that type of person usually will also let it go easily. And another type of person is very hard. It's difficult, more difficult to get him angry. By nature, it's harder for him to lose the anger. So it sounds like there's two different types of nature of the people, that there's a connection between how long it takes to get angry and how long it takes to lose it. You could say simply because the more it takes to get you angry, so that means whatever you do get angry about is something that you really, it's really ingrained in you, really has to get deep into you. The person that gets angry very easily, it doesn't have to get that deep to get angry. It comes in easy and it goes out easy. Now, it's very possible it's very possible that the Mishnah says that a person that has both qualities, that it's difficult to get angry and it's easy for him to get appeased, he's called a chassid. And a person that's easy to get angry and difficult to appease is called a rasha. And I like to, it's possible to two shel of art from your Rabbi Kalish. There's a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah right before it. The Mishnah right before in Pirkei Avos. Rakeel once said a beautiful pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Arba midas ba'adam. There are four midas of a person. A person that says, Shali Shali, what's mine is mine. The Shalach Shalach. A person what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. That's a midah beinonis. That's a midah beinonis. A person that says, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine. So that's an Amaris. That's an Amaris, you're just foolish. Doesn't make sense. What's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. Doesn't make any sense. A person that says what's mine is yours and what's yours is yours, he's called a chassid. And a person that says what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine, he's called a rasha. So now, Rakesh wanted to set us up. That, right? There, in nature, there are two types of people. There's, and by the way, in nature, want to say that two types of people. There's a person that naturally feels what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. Because when a person who feels what's mine is mine understands possession. He understands that, you know, not to touch my stuff. When a person's the type of person that doesn't want you to touch his stuff, usually, we hope, that person won't touch your stuff. Because he knows what it's like. He understands from his own point of view that you should never touch, never should take my things. So therefore, he has enough decency, because it's not a rasha, to at least say, well, okay, that person, I don't like people touching my things, so that no one, you know, people don't like when I take their things. But the person is very generous, and he's always giving away, naturally generous. He's giving away his stuff to other people. So he reflects that many times. We've spoken about this in Musavah before. He reflects on the other person that just like he's generous, and he's happy to give his stuff. So he expects you also should be happy to give your stuff. And therefore, many times you'll find the generous person, Dalakov Swiss at least, the person who's taking things, hopefully is at least generous with his own, that he thinks people don't mind, of course, you're supposed to be give and take, you know. So that's the natural nature of the person. So I just wanted to say, that's the two natural ways. There are only two natural ways.
Second
way is what's mine is yours and what's yours is mine. Meaning we share. Life is about sharing. I'm easygoing. I'm relaxed. I'm not so makbid if you take my thing. I'm not so makbid if you wake me up. I'm not such a makbid person on what people do to me. And I'm not so makbid on what I do to others because I think that people are like me. We always think people are like ourselves. They're close, not exactly. But a person that doesn't want anyone to take his things, he's not going to be the type to take other people's things, unless he succumbs to the midah of a rasha. So that's the two natural ways of a person. Life is about growing. Life's about growing. If you work on yourself and you fix yourself, that if you're a selfish person, a person's selfish, says what's mine is mine. And what's yours is yours. So he says, listen, I know what's yours is yours because I know that people, I don't like when people touch my things. I understand that. So I'll never touch your things. But I'm going to work on myself and I'm going to try to learn to share. I want to be a generous person. I want to share my things. I don't want to be makbid. I don't want to wake anyone up. I want to be very careful not to upset anyone. Even though I want to be very careful not to upset anyone. Right? I'm sorry, one more time. In other words, I'm very careful people shouldn't, naturally I'm careful people shouldn't touch my things and I shouldn't touch their things. So I'll keep the good me, I'm not going to touch your things, but I'm going to work on myself not to be so selfish about my things. I'll give on my own things, I won't be so macro on my own things, so I'll keep the good, naturally good me that I have, which is what's yours is yours, and I'm going to change myself that I'll say shali shalah, that's a chassid, or the opposite, a person that's naturally very generous. The person is actually very generous. He's a very generous person. So he says what's mine is yours. But he thinks naturally, okay, I can take other people's things too because I share with other people. They should also share. He says, no. I'll continue my good midah of sharing, but I'll realize there's other people that don't, you know, that don't have the similar sentiments and they don't want to give. And I'm going to leave them. What's theirs is theirs. You should keep theirs. I don't want to take from them. But I want to continue giving mine. That's the avodah in life. For a person to keep it, that's a chassid of the Mishnah's problem. To keep your naturally good midah, every person is naturally good soul. side to an issue. There's a good side and a bad side. Keep my good side and overcome my bad side. A person that corrupts himself, you mom's got to corrupt yourself, because there's not naturally a decent person, a natural person, that should go around thinking naturally what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. What kind of shite, what kind of crazy person are you? What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine? Why, that doesn't make any sense. If you think what's yours is yours, then shouldn't other people be able to have what's theirs? Teretz is you're in Russia. Teretz is not only did you perverted your natural midah. You've succumbed to mamash to rishas. So it could be it's the same thing. So two shall have var into the next mishnah. A person naturally will either be easygoing in terms of getting easily get angry, and he'll easily lose the anger. Easy come, easy go. Another type of person, it's very hard to get him angry, which is a better level. It's hard for him to get angry, but it's hard for him to let go. So the Mishnah is saying, now you have a choice. You could either retain your good midah that's hard for you to get angry, and now work on your bad midah. Work on your bad midah that's hard for you to forgive. Let go. Be meichel people. Let go. So that's, or if you're naturally a person that easily gets angry and you easily forgive, so continue to easily forgive, but work on yourself not to get easily angry. Perfect what you're missing. But if you pervert yourself, if you succumb to Yetzer Hara and you fall from the natural tev of the person, and you fall either going into getting angry easily or going into not being appeased easily, then you're mamash rush. So it's a chara, we can say the same shadow with it. So lamaisa, to me, this is a mishnah of a chiddush. You see, it's better to be a person that's hard to get angry than to be a person that'll be a person that easily gets angry but easily forgives.
Is that because it's harder to fix that midah?
I don't know if that's why. It seems like, because practically speaking, a person that's always getting angry, the fact that he gets appeased is not going to be a salvation, because he's just going to keep on getting angry again. Yeah, just going to get angry again. So a person cannot come, pat himself on the back, oh, well, I get angry very fast, but it only lasts for a second. I only have a flashing, the people that have the flashing angers for 2 seconds. It's not good to have any anger at all. It's very interesting. The Mefarshim point out, the Mishnah doesn't say a midah of a person that never ever gets angry. The Mishnah doesn't say a midah of a person that never gets angry. And had I not seen it, I wouldn't have believed it. How do you know that, Ali? It's a huge chiddush. But the Taisus Yantiv says, "Avol shelo yichos klal, a person never gets angry like nimtzu b'shem deya. You'll never find such a person. Because milana gadol ba'anavi Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashem, who's greater in anava, humility? His anger is dependent on humility. Whose anger? Who's bigger out of the Moshe Rabbeinu? And it says Moshe got angry, like we learned before in Ochad Tzadikim. We said in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry." Amazing. It says there's no such thing. Alright? And Rav Hashem, one day you'll be zeichet to a kash on the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. But, alright. The Elu Arba Minas Nemarim Neged Atzadik. These 4 Minas are said Klapi Atzadik. This is talking about when a person is dealing with a tzaddik. When a person is a tzaddik, kishu kayis al ha-tayvim, that he gets, when he's getting angry about tayvim on good people, ay binyani aylam. A person is getting angry on good people. Now, it's not dealing with a shav. Either you're getting angry at your friend, or you're getting angry at things in the world. You're getting upset about things. By the way, it says getting angry about things in the world is a very important thing. Frustration, I don't know if I've spent time on it, but frustration is a form of anger. Frustration is a form of anger. A person gets frustrated, he's in a traffic, it's obvious. A person is stuck in a traffic jam. A person is working on something and gets frustrated. That's obviously a form of anger. A person should always try to stay calm. A person should should always try to stay calm, not to get angry. You know, I have a terrible midah, a very bad midah, that anytime we have to go away, anytime a family has to go away, so I get very, and we're supposed to leave at a certain time, so I get, I have this mishigas, so I get like all antsy, we're supposed to, we have to leave already, late, and I get very like, I get very tense.
That's good.
What?
That's good.
Not good. It's a form of chaos.
Because then you won't go into Shabbos, you're not going to be worried about time.
Yes, but that's the trick in life. There's people called, since you brought it up, all right, let's just get to it in 1 second. You know, so it's not good. I'm getting, you get all tense, you have to leave. So you'll say, what do you mean? Like David said, but you're supposed to leave early of Shabbos. You're not supposed to leave, you know, you're not supposed to drive, you know, too close to Shabbos. So there's something called yakis, right? People call it yakis. Now, are yakis good or bad? So some people like yakis, some people don't. Some people are yakis, some people are not. We all should. The thing about yakis is like this: everything again has its good and bad. Yakis b'chalal. By the way, yakis b'chalal are amazing. I'm not discussing yakis. Yakis b'chalal are amazing people, the erlich and everything else. But I'm talking about the yakish midah. The yakish midah about people that are very yakish. They're very yakish. I don't say yakish. People are very yakish about times, and they're very machlid. You have to start on time. Minchas davening starts 2 minutes late. Get all angry. There's something called being yakish. Is being yakish a good thing or a bad thing? And the answer is both. It depends. What we associate a yakish person is, this is the way people are. Yakish person, mincha has to start this time. If davening has to start. If things are running late, they get upset, they act irrational many times, they get upset, they get angry. That's what happens. Another person, we say, but davening has to start, but mincha has to start on time, you have to start mincha on time. You have to start the speeches on time, you have to start the wedding on time, you have to start this, you have to do this, you have to leave, you know, you have to get there early, you can't get there late, you're right. But if it doesn't work out that way, they get very upset. They get very upset about it. Another person is very chilled out. This is exactly what we're talking about A person is very chilled out. Yeah, what's the many times you have a husband and wife? One's chilled out, one's yakish. So a person's chilled out. What's this? Oh, yes, we'll start a little late, so get the wedding a little late. What's the difference? We're in a rush. Yeah. So a person should not be late to things. Not the weddings, the weddings always start late. A person should not be late to davening. A person should not be late. A person should be organized. A person should be an organized person, by the way. There's nothing wrong with being organized, being neat and organized. The problem is that the person gets upset and angry if it doesn't work out the way. And that's a bad meetup. That's a bad meetup. Getting upset, getting angry, overreacting, getting tense because you're 2 minutes late, then later than you wanted to leave, or the other people you're waiting for them, you know, you had a meeting at 7 o'clock, you told everyone to be on time, you're there and they're not there, you're all upset at them. So that's not good. That's not good. So most people are naturally obsessed or taught to be obsessed with timing and obsessed with certain yakishness, and if it doesn't go that way, they get very upset, they get very tense, they get very annoyed. Another person has no concern about it, no consideration to it, and therefore it's very easy going about it. So we gotta take the both of each. You gotta be yakish, you gotta be on time, you gotta be neat, you gotta be organized, you shouldn't be a slob, you should be put together and on time. But on the other hand, if it doesn't go, you gotta be calm about it. You can't be a mishugan, you're obsessed with it, you gotta be calm about it. Alright, so you're running a little late, it's a big deal. Calm about it. So the calm person who becomes yakish will be able to do it. So what happens is a calm person who doesn't care about time has to work on himself to care about time and retain his calmness. Don't become obsessed with it. Don't become obsessed with it. Be calm about it. The person who's yakish and is very obsessed, keep his time, you know, keep the organization, but stop being obsessed with it. People, you have a hard time. It's very difficult. You rarely find the person that is both, that he's organized, he's calm about it. You rarely find both. People have a hard time doing this trick. Person's organized, calm, but if it doesn't go, but if it goes late, it doesn't go the way they expected, they planned exactly the way it should be. Everyone doesn't follow their instructions. They don't follow exactly how, you know, the way they set everything up. Alright, it's no big deal. That's what we're striving for. It's, you know, each one has its bad, each one has its, you know, bad need, though. A person could be the perfect yekka. The yekka, calm. Don't get tense. The person's running late, you go all tense, you're running late, you're gonna miss the chasna, so you'll miss it. It's not gonna help to cry about it. It's not gonna help to yell at your wife because of it. It's not gonna help to get upset at your kids because of it. What does it help? You're gonna get there any faster because you're upset? You're stuck in traffic. You're all late to the dinner, you're late, oh no, I'm late. It's not relevant anymore, you know. It's not relevant anymore, you know. What's that cost? So you're gonna miss. You'll miss a million. You'll miss. You know, the end of the world. The world is gonna get blown up. The world's gonna get blown up if you don't. If you miss your doctor's appointment. If you miss this. If you miss that. The world's gonna blow up. But it doesn't help to cry about it. Doesn't have to cry about it. Doesn't have to be nervous about it. Doesn't have to get upset. Doesn't have to get angry. People are late to something. So they honk at every person in front of them. This guy's going so slow. They kill the guy. Honk. And drive dangerously, going around people. So you get to 4 minutes faster. People feel like they have to do something. So you cut around people. Chas v'shalom, person can be an accident. Calm down. Chill out. Calm down. All right. Can we finish the paragraph?
But a person that's hard for him to get angry on people that do averus, and he's soft with them, zumi the ra, says a bad nida. A person should get upset with people that do averus. Shemisratel or sham, because he's appeased, or he's good to the Rishayim. The kosher gave Misha Nayach Lichas al Tzadikim. And certainly a person that easily gets angry on Tzadikim. Certainly someone that easily gets angry on Tzadikim. By the way, it's a bad, you know, there many times a guy's, let's say, wants to do something. A person's trying to do something good. He's trying to, whatever it is, you know, person wants to take care of the svarim in yeshiva. He wants to put them away. Or a person wants to do something good. And many times people get all angry at them. People get angry at them because, what are you doing? You're taking took my sefer and this and that and that. Many times people get especially angry on people that. Many times people get especially angry on tzaddikim. They get especially angry when a person's doing the right thing. A person's trying to do a good thing. He's trying to be helpful. A person's trying to be helpful. And you get all upset at them for whatever, for not doing it the way like you wanted it. You know, maybe a person's jealous that the other person's trying to do something good. When a person's trying to do something good, you should never get angry at them. Never get angry at a person when they're trying to do something good. When a person's trying to be good, there's never an excuse to get angry at a person. A person tries to do you a favor. A person tries to do you a favor, and he made a mistake. Try to do you a favor, and it turns out you didn't want him to do it for you. So you get angry at the guy? Sometimes we get angry at people but the worst thing is to get angry at someone that's trying to do you a favor. A person tries to help you, and you're upset at them because, whatever, you didn't want them to do it, whatever the case is. Or they didn't do it the right way. A person tried to help you, and he didn't do it the right way. He cleaned up your room for you, and he messed up. He put this thing in this place. Why are you bothering? Well, I didn't want you to clean up my room. Da 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 da. The person tried to do something good. The kasha lichas al sham, and a person that has a difficulty to get angry on his sham.
The Nayach Lirtzos Rasham, a person that easily gives as appeased by Rasham, the Kasha Lirtzos Tzadikim, and it's difficult for him to give in to Tzadikim. Many times, you know, it comes when a Talmud Chacham does something wrong against them, they're not Michael them. They love to hold something over the Rav, over the Rebbe. The Rebbe did something wrong, or the Rav did something wrong. They don't want to forgive him too fast. They want to feel, you know, certain superiority, a certain thing. Oh, yeah, he's not perfect. Who does he think he is? So, Zeh Rosh Hagam.
It doesn't mean true Kah, does it?
That's a Rosh Hagam, a person that easily gives in to Rishon. If a Rosh does something wrong, they're Michael them right away. But if a Tzadik does something wrong, they're very tough on them. That's a Midas Rishas. That's a Midas Rishas. A person is a person that's Lahacha, as a person is against Torah. But
is this talking about true Kahs? Or does this mean like typical Kahs? I've been saying that typical Kahs, are you sure you're getting angry but not really inside?
Oh, you're talking about being angry at Rishon?
Yeah.
That's a little thing here. See, it sounds like from the Torah Chassidim here that a person should be angry at Rishon. Now, it's very hard. It's very hard because what does it mean to be angry at Rishon? You'll say, I'll be angry. Yeah, what's a rush? I'll be angry at my. I'll be angry at my whatever it is. I'll be angry at my family member. I'll be angry at this person, the person in my shul because he's not from. I'll be angry at him. What am I angry about? Is he a Russia? Is he? I'm not sure. Usually, anger is not a good thing. Probably talking about a person that's destroying. Person that's destroying Yiddishkeit. Person that's destructive. That person you should be angry with. Person that's mechal Hashem Shemayim. Person that's making chil Hashem. Person that's a bad influence on other people. You should get angry at him. You should get angry at a person that's taking other people's things. There's sometimes a good reason to get angry with someone. Not because they're stam not giving it to the Yetzer Hara. Person that's outright doing things that are against Torah and Mitzvahs. That's time. We all fall. It's very hard to judge someone. We all fall. Many times. It's very hard to judge. Oh, he's a Russia because he does this, he does that. But a person who's outright Michal Shem Shemayim, a person who's outright causing other people to Averis, a person who's outright, you know, contradicting the Torah, so that person, you know, you shouldn't be so easygoing with him. Because that shows we don't really care about the Torah. You know what I mean? So if someone insults you, you know, you don't get over it so fast. So if a person insults the Torah, you shouldn't get over it so fast. You should be a little bit tough. It should bother you so much. It should be hard for you to be Michael the person.